Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Iyana Kanata, and this is What Black Women Really Think. And I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight. What I wanted to touch on tonight, we're going to be talking about our arts, A-R-D-S. And how it is related to the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus. So it's actually news to me because this is my first time hearing about it. And I've you know, learned a little bit this morning and today as far as what is it and how does it affect. So basically the concept is this, is that initially you may be diagnosed with COVID-19 and you may have a mild case, you may have a severe case, but when the case does get from mild or moderate to severe, then it develops into acute respiratory distress syndrome. And according to the MayoClinic.org, it occurs when fluid builds up in the tiny elastic air sacs, the alveoli, in your lungs, and the fluid keeps your lungs from filling with enough air. So that's going to lead when you're not able to receive air in the lungs. It means you're going to get less oxygen reaching your bloodstream, and that will deprive your organs of the oxygen that they need to function. So once that happens, you're going to pretty much need a ventilator to breathe, and it occurs in people who are already critically ill or who have significant injuries. Severe shortness of breath is the main symptom of ARDS. Usually develops within a few hours to a few days of the precipitating injury or infection. Many people who develop acute respiratory distress syndrome do not necessarily recover. So the symptoms can vary in intensity. In this article, according to the Mayo Clinic, and also in severity, but some of the symptoms are labored and unusually rapid breathing, low blood pressure, confusion, extreme tiredness. We have a caller calling in.
Hey, yeah. Hi, everyone.
Good evening, caller. How are you tonight, and who am I speaking with?
This is Tracy Glaze. Hi, everyone.
Hi,
out
Tracy.
There.
Yes, thank you for co-hosting with me tonight. So I was just reading up on ARDS, which I had spoke with you about earlier. I seen a doctor, I believe, on a YouTube video, and he was saying that, you know, the coronavirus leads to acute respiratory distress syndrome. And with that, that's when the fluids build up in the tiny air sacs in your lungs, and it keeps your lungs mm-hmm. from getting enough air. And then that means less oxygen is reaching your bloodstream, which will deprive your organs of the oxygen it needs to function. So it once you are at that level after contracting COVID-19, the chances of survival go down significantly. So it reminds me a little bit of like when they first was trying to put a name on HIV, and the next level of HIV then became AIDS. You know, so it's like
right.
you can have COVID-19 and you can possibly recover, but if it gets to the point where you have ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress, then it
right.
may, you know, move in your options to actually win that battle. So that's what we need to identify, where we're at, because a lot of people, whether they admit it or not, may already have some symptoms or may already be affected, and they want to make sure that they're able to control it since there's no vaccine as of yet, right? How do you feel about that, Tracy?
I mean, thus far, just to piggyback on what you said, the progression of it, you know, we only know of a couple of cases as of yet because test kits were not available. I don't even really know if they are now because I have not watched the news in about 24 hours because the just short story of it, the dropping of the ball has just, that makes me mad. It makes me just crazy with, like, what are they thinking, you know? And now we have to social distance and, you know, it's a pan epidemic. You know that if someone coughs or kind of like, you know, the fluid, because it's the droplet, and you described it perfectly a minute ago about, you know, it getting on your lungs and then it can transpire into something else. So I'm basically tired of waiting for the government to get with the times and, you know, follow up and really get down to the problem. We need to have, you know, the test readily available, number one, because we don't know who has, you know, this virus. It's invisible. It's not like, you know, someone develops a rash or turns purple and you can identify it right away. And I think it takes like 14 days, if I'm not mistaken. Just like you mentioned earlier, you can have the cough or you can have some type of symptom. But, you know, by the time that I identify it and, you know, you can actually get some type of everything close, it makes it really hard.
Yeah, by the time the severity gets to R, like where in HIV you don't have any blood cells, to white blood cells, when you are full-blown AIDS, then it changes because then your level to fight back, it decreases, it becomes acute, it becomes severe, you know. And the lack, I will agree with you that I am disappointed when it comes to our lack of supplies. That's something that I feel that is surprising to me, that it's not more respirators in this country, and, you know, that we actually were able to run out of masks and things like that. That's something that hopefully never happens again. You know, hopefully we're the guinea pigs of this situation so that in the future, you know, and then, like, I was talking to a nurse the other night, and she said, you know, if they had all the equipment in the world, that there's not enough nurses and doctors to treat everyone because this thing is so big. That,
yeah.
If, and somebody mentioned that, I don't know if it was, I can't recall exactly where it was, but that, there was a nursing home that was literally abandoned. Some people had died. Some people were still in there, and they had just left. I don't know if the people, someone in there had COVID-19 or what, but I have to look more into that. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, we just want to be able to give it a name, as, you know, as they would put it in slang terms. It's like, okay, we need to give this, each section of the room needs a name. So this section of the room, this whole room is COVID-19, okay? And this part of the room is the beginning symptoms, the sore throat. So then that's A. That's the A section. So in the A section, you're getting a sore throat. Do something about that sore throat so you can stay in the A section. Doesn't mean, because everybody's not going to be able to tiptoe around it. So when you're in the A section, do something, you know, home remedies. Do some gargling with some salt water. You know, do something about being in section A so section A doesn't get to section B. Because then when section B comes, then that's when they get the fever and the chills. And, you know, their body starts not being able to respond because your immunity, your body is fighting for you, which is why you're getting the fever. But also, you know, it's weakening. It's like a battle going on inside of you. So
yeah,
once you get to section B, you don't want to get to section C, which is, you know, the R, you know, where it's a lot harder to recover the acute respiratory distress syndrome. So that's like the level of, you know, severity. So some people are going to get
they're getting weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what about the reinfection? You know, I was curious as once you have it, and you, if someone can overcome it, can they get reinfected? So I had looked something up, and it's not necessarily reinfection, but you can relapse, as they put it. If you haven't fully, completely recovered, you know, there's such a thing as a relapse.
Are you saying once you're infected, you're always infected? It just is kind of monitored by, say,
how do you know? It's like, I you know, a friend told me the other day they got chicken pox 3 times, and I didn't even know that was a thing, you know? Because you remember how it used to be back in the day where one person get chicken pox, and then you put everybody, brother and sister, everybody goes in the tub at the same time so they could catch it too, and then everybody could be over it. You know, so, and I heard, oh, okay, well, the susceptibility, you know, is there, but can you get it a second time, you know? And so from what I gather, it's more of a relapse, you know? It's like you can't, you know, get it twice, but experts said a Japanese woman who already had it developed it twice, but after more conclusive reports, it realized it was a relapse rather than a second infection. So in reinfection, it's highly unlikely, it says, in I believe it's a popular science blog called Popular Science, because it says that most infectious diseases trigger a permanent immune response during recovery. So once you have it, you're going to have a permanent, you know, immune response, unless you have autoimmune, you know, disorder, or you have a compromise in your immune system, like lupus or other things, underlying issues. But other than that, your body is literally going to develop immunity towards COVID-19 once you've had it. So that's something that is good to know. But you must fully recover before, you know, you go back into the world. And I think after 7 to 10 days, after you have no symptoms and, you know, the experience, I think it's different for everyone, but you won't no longer be contagious. You know, there's a time when you're contagious and then there's a time when you're no longer contagious. So those are the things we need to educate ourselves on, because a lot of people are going to come across it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Without even knowing. That's why just earlier when we were talking, it's just, it's so rampant, and then it's just popping up, like, you know, in different areas, and then it's like a cluster all at once. It's driving me, myself, my opinion. Like, I'm going stir crazy because you're quarantined, you're not allowed out. I mean, just the way that it affects your body, and then you can't get your supplies. You know, people are panic buying. So all of this plays on your health. Like, I went to my local store, and it was no meat inside of there. They had, like, I think a couple of steaks, whole turkey. But, you know, the basic stuff that you get, the milk, the butter, cheese, None of that was available. And so I was even feeling kind of under the weather a few days ago, because it's kind of like, you know, we're going into a time where I wouldn't know if it would be a recession or the Great Depression, because, you know, people are not working. You know, as we speak, things are being changed to where we're, you know, perpetuated into a new time. You know, the things of old are going to be obsolete, and the way that they're handling just this pandemic is just, you know, it's like a lot of mass hysteria. People are nervous and they're scared, and I think that plays on someone. You know, if you're, you know, type of person who, you know, goes to work, come home, then that's like havoc to your system, because you have to get out and make a living for your family. So, you know, you don't know, like you were saying earlier, who if you do have symptoms of it. But, you know, just thinking overall, you might feel like, you know, going through something, and even trying to get that health care, that, you know, all the hospitals are overcrowded. I saw on the news yesterday that they were bringing in several Army or Naval ships. Don't quote me on that. I know it's like the government issue, but it wasn't for extra health care. It was just to maintain the overflow from the hospital. So that in itself is creating, you know, where people are concerned, because you don't know. You can be around someone who seems fine, and then, you know, they tell family or friends. And one of the reasons I, you know, believe that, because look at the celebrities. You know, Tom Hanks and his wife, and Idris Elba and his wife as well. So it's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Mr. Elba.
Yeah.
That is a good girl. I love Idris Elba. He's a really good actor. another on that note of Idris Elba, he responded to a comment, Cardi B, the rapper. She made a comment earlier this week on her Instagram, and how you know, how it appears from what I gather, basically, Idris Elba became, everybody knows he tested positive for COVID-19. He's one of the people early on who was tested positive for it. Most recently, the rapper Slim Thug tested positive for coronavirus. And then also Scarface, the rapper Scarface, he tested positive for the coronavirus. So that's just, you know, in the rap community and the hip-hop community, you know, people have tested positive, but also all over the Hollywood, you know, industry, people have tested positive. Prince Charles actually tested positive.
Right.
I don't know if that's been, Tom Hanks has tested positive. So it's a lot of people who have been affected by this, and
right,
that aren't, you know, they're not immune either. You know, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, Andy Cohen, people know him. He's, you know, he does the show. And so these are people everybody sees every day, you know. This is actually Harvey Weinstein, you know, the producer who's been in all this, the behind the movement, Me Too, with his trial for his role on the casting couch as far as throughout his career. He's been found guilty and served 23 years for criminal sexual act and third degree rape. So
He's tested positive. And there's other people that I'm not that familiar with, but, you know, they're also the guy from Game of Thrones, Christopher, his Jew. So it's at this point, you know, these people are, if anybody is untouchable, these people are untouchable. You know, the only thing I heard that Slim Thug said, he said he's a hypochondriac. He was paying attention to the quarantine. He was staying away from people. But what I did hear him say was he did eat out a few times. And I think that's, you know, that's questionable at this point because you don't know where it's coming from. So Daniel Radcliffe from the Harry Potter series tested positive.
Wow.
So it's a lot of people. Like I said, it's affecting the entire world at this point. Usually, for some reason, you know, you have money, you have good health care. A lot of the things that would get the little guy doesn't usually go and get people who are, you know, who have better money, better health care, so on and so forth. So Cardi, being, you know, the outspoken lady that she is, she has her opinion about whether, you know, what's going on with the government. She says this idea is like they don't seem to have any symptoms. And so she's like, that's kind of strange, you know, and how, you know, how come that is, that they're not showing any symptoms, but in other places people are dying. So basically she said, are people getting paid to do this? So Idris responded, he didn't mention any names, but he was like, you know, I wouldn't do this. I'm really, you know, positive with this. This is really affecting me. And I'm not an actor right now. I'm just a human being. I just happen to be in the public eye. So he's like, I want people to understand this is very real. And I feel like I save people from getting it by doing the test early. Because he could have just been walking around and, you know, like a lot of people have been walking around and you don't know. So one lady said, like I said yesterday, just treat yourself like you're sick and don't touch anything. Because you could be the person who, you're afraid of everybody else. You could be the person who's contaminating everything. Because they're, like I said, there's a phase and then there's a phase when you're not, no longer contagious.
Yeah. And that's one thing that concerned me because, like you said, the, you know, people that we see all the time, well, on TV all the time, but they also have, like, social distancing. You know, their houses are, you know, a couple of square feet. So, you know, everybody's not in just, you know, a two-bedroom apartment, you know, and trying to stay away from each other. But the thing that really concerns me is just the cluster of cases that's popping up all over. I have a family in Pacoima, and yesterday, I think it was someone had tested positive, so it was the first case. But then they turned around and went to the local grocery store. So then they had to sanitize it and make sure that it was, you know, back running correctly. So imagine, you know, all of that had to stop because, you know, one person knowingly wanted to, I don't know, grocery shop or what have you, but that's how severe it is. And people don't know, you know, it's still people out who are, you know, okay, I'm going to just go and do this real quick or go and do this real quick. I mean, everybody's suffering. And a couple of cases, I think, at least one I think I caught, it was about a couple of, 2-3 days ago on the news in Long Beach. And so it's just like close to home now. They're, you know, and they're not divulging names, you know, I'm pretty sure to protect the person, but, you know, what if they're in a household with people, and then those people go out just for a second to do something, and, you know, you're interacting. So it's taken longer for, you know, things to kind of, for the dust to settle, because it's not just like one complete quarantine. So even when the, you know, quarantine and, you know, being in the house and making sure that, you know, you're sanitizing, just even the people who are out still trying to do one or two things, it's prolonging it. And this is just, it's a lot to deal with, to be honest. It's really a lot to deal with, because I'm in the food industry, and, you know, you don't want to be around the food, and, you know, you have to sanitize and make sure. So times like these, it just makes people afraid. And so, you know, restaurants are closed, or offices, and that cuts into money that, you know, it's saved up for something else. And so right now, just, you know, dealing with health-wise and, you know, concerns about rent and bills and mortgages, I know that plays a big part, because it's all economical. You know, if you're already at a point where, you know, you're just trying to live and have a life that, you know, you can call your own, and you're going through a time where, you know, it's not something that you can handle, it's out of your control, what happens then? So these are just
and everybody is trying
all together. They're trying times.
Yeah, everybody's just gonna have to get comfortable with, I mean, eventually getting to the point that we're all wearing masks, because we could all potentially have it, and we're all wearing gloves. And that way, and we're self, you know, we're self isolating as much as possible, because, you know, there are things that you can do without being around multiple people. You know, they can make it an engine where they're just delivering, and it's just a delivery type thing. Now, if the post office shuts down, that's another thing. But, you know, Cardi did have some valid points, and I will say, you know, I do like the fact that she does speak her mind. I don't know if I necessarily agree with her all about the, you know, about that, you know, if they're just making this up, but something she said was very valid, because when she mentioned how, you know, a lot of the younger people aren't able to get tested. You know what I mean? And then she said, you know, a lot of people don't have the luxury to go live in a big house and social distance. It'd be people that live in a small apartment, and they live around multiple people. So if it's one lady, she is experiencing that, and she came, and I'm going to share it with you later, but she did a YouTube video, and she's actually in a house of three, and it's her, her husband, and her daughter got the coronavirus. But, you know, of course, her daughter being younger, the strongest symptoms last about probably 5 or 6 days. I believe she said she was really, you know, 4 days. It was you know, the hardest. But she was isolated to her room. And then there was a bathroom because they had two bathrooms designated for her that she could use. And she had her own silverware and eating items, and, you know, so on and so forth. So then that was over. And then the husband and the father, you know, slash father, he contracted the coronavirus. And the wife, she at this time doesn't have it. So basically she's in a household, and she's surrounded by, you know, the coronavirus. Her daughter is healing from it, and her husband is having a harder time, and he has it, you know. But it's like she said, she's implemented measures where, you know, it's not, you know, like we're going to overlap on each other. She maintains the distance whenever they're interacting. She wears a mask and gloves. They have their own silverware, their own food, you know, containers that's only for them. You know, and then the only other thing is, like, if they were in a house and they didn't have two bathrooms, like, it would have to be sanitized every time, you know, that person used the bathroom, and they would have to probably wear gloves. But basically she didn't have the option to take her daughter to the hospital because, you know, there weren't any tests available. So,
yeah.
Ergo, she had to come back home, and she actually probably did. She had symptoms, and everybody basically self-isolated at that time, and they're remaining, you know, that way. So I thought that was interesting how well she's handling it, you know. So,
yeah,
that's something.
She's just taking care of the household like women do.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's, like, interesting because, like, wow, you know, and she said she kind of panicked when it first happened, but she's like, we got to just calm down, stop watching too much news, you know, let's just stay connected. And LL Cool J, really quick before we hang up, he did something awesome. He actually went on Twitter, I believe. And, you know, give a shout out to everyone and say, you know, hey, if you need to talk, give me a call. Here's my number. You know, I don't know when the last famous person gave his number to the public, but yeah, it's getting real. LL did that today. Like, hit me up. You want to talk about classic hip hop? You want to talk, you know, let's, you know, in touch and, you know, da da da. I'm like, wow. So, LL.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And I think Erykah Badu held a concert in her house. She was charging $1 per ticket. So that's awesome. You know, you get a million views, that's $1 million. Shoot, she's a dynamic business lady, okay? Some people in Hollywood make it work, you know. They're going to make it work regardless. And that's where we got to be at with it. We got to be like a fish and be adaptable. We got to just adapt because this thing is here, and it's something we had never met, and we probably would never wish we would have ever met this. But we got to figure out how we're going to start doing our stuff at home. Because it's going to be longer than 14 days, I'm pretty sure. In 14 days, coming to a close. So I want to know what's the new word. Once in 14 days, what's going on now? another 14 days. But I think that'll be a good preventive measure. Just make us all wear gloves and all wear masks. Even though people keep saying, well, the only people that need masks is sick people. Well, if you don't know you're sick, you don't get 20 other people sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know you're sick. That's the problem.
I know I saw a post that Joann's Fabric, setting aside pre-cut fabric and elastic, and if you know how to sew, they want people to come out and sew masks and then drop them back off so they can, you know, take them to the healthcare workers. But like you mentioned a minute ago, if someone, you know, just if everybody had their mask, it would just stop all of the, you know, extra someone, you know, sneezes or, you know, they spit or like when they're talking, you know, just all of that. It's just being,
I mean,
mindful.
You don't know.
If someone sneezes now, no one says bless you. They just look, you know, they're like, you know, because again, people's mindset is at an all-time high. They're like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm staying safe, and you don't know if you don't even know that you're infected.
That's why I said, you know, that should be how everybody looks at it. Instead of saying, well, oh, I'm not infected. Well, we none of us have got tested. You know,
one of me. And so who knows? Half of us, you know, don't know what the heck is going on. And I'm not saying we are and to just get, you know, all crazy like that. But I'm just saying, mm-hmm. know that it's a possibility. And hopefully by the time, you know, the test does come, you've already been through anything that would made it hard on you, because it's already out of hand. Like you said, at this point, it's already in another place. So you just trying to, at this point, survive, you know, and keep yourself alive, keep your family alive, and hopefully you'll make it through this. But some of us may or may not, you know, we don't know what the future holds. So trying to end on a good note, you know, the power of vitamin C, and let's, you know, do our oranges, our citrus, you know, let's keep that going, because that seems to be having good results, the vitamin C. And I heard that in New York they're giving out vitamin supplements, which makes a lot of sense, bring people's immunities up to fight this invisible thing that, you know, they need immunities to fight. So even if you're not into getting your daily vitamins, take your one a day now. So, yeah, I heard that that's been an idea, is using the coronavirus, I think, has been effective in certain places. I don't know if the exact case was, but...
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's been highly recommended. So we'll find out more to come and see how it affects, but we'll find out. So, but thank you, Tracy Glaze, for being my co-host tonight. And we're gonna say, you know, any final words?
Absolutely. My final words is that my belief, even though we've discussed just the tip of the iceberg of this pan epidemic that's running rampant, I just really believe like it's a resetting. You know, everyone is kind of chopped at the knees right now because things are closed down and businesses are not moving forward. And although we are quarantined and everyone is stuck to their houses, we can, you know, kind of reconnect. And, you know, we never get to sit and see kids or family, husbands, wives. You know, everybody's always off doing something to live life. Right now we're able to just be in presence, even though we're, you know, not to touch and, like, get too close, but it's all a vibe. It's all energy. You know, doing that, you can actually talk to a person across the room or, you know, sit there and focus on that book you wanted to read. And as much as rain that's happening, you know, I started gardening a couple of days ago, and my seedlings are already growing. So I'm just grateful that, you know, the things that I already had in my heart and just, you know, the time wasn't there. Now it's kind of like, you know, it's happening. And so once everybody, you know, come out their proverbial caves in hopefully 2-3 weeks, you know, we will be grateful. We'll be happy for the things that not so much as take for granted, but we always get caught up in a routine, and this is just a resetting, a new awakening. So I'm grateful that, you know, God always sees us through.
That's right. Yeah, stay grateful, and like you said, attitude of gratitude. I agree with you. I'm grateful to see another day, to talk to you. I'm praying for, you know, people that are having hardships dealing with this virus, their family. You know, we got to hold each other in strength and solitude. You know, in our solitude, we have to hold each other, you know, in strength, you know, and be in solidarity with one another as human beings that are all on a level playing field at this point. So,
Yes.
Yes.
So, anyway, I'd like to thank you for listening tonight to our show. And this is What Black Women Really Think. And Ayana Tanada and Tracy Glaze signing off. Peace.
Good night.